these appearance days, disappearance days of great Vaishnava acharyas, give us a wonderful opportunity to remember the teachings and examples of these great personalities, who are acharyas. Acharya means one who teaches by their words and by their life. It is very appropriate at this time during our classes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we are in the midst of reading about the contemplation and meditation of Sri Advaita Acharya, of how he was, although an incarnation of Godhead himself, he felt himself in the mood of a servitor. Therefore, he felt himself incapable and incompetent to deliver the conditioned souls from the mires of illusion in the midst of this age of Kali, this age of quarrel and hypocrisy. Therefore, we have been reading about how Advaita Acharya, in his heart, was thinking that how could I find any satisfaction or pleasure, even in my loving relationship with Krishna, when I see all of my brothers and sisters here in this world suffering due to forgetfulness, suffering due to illusion. And this created a feeling of deep, great compassion within his heart. And therefore, he decided to call out in humble prayers of submission for Lord Sri Krishna to descend. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was in the same compassionate spiritual frame of mind. Thakur Bhaktivinoda was a Shakti Vaishavatar. He was also an empowered incarnation of Godhead, who had descended to this world only for the purpose of establishing the true principles of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he could see all around him such a degraded and fallen condition in human society, such rampant materialism, such perverted understandings and practices in the name of religion. And he saw around him, even in the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, it was so rare to find anyone who had a conception of what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was really teaching. There was a tremendous movement of Sahajism at the time. Sahajya means one who takes everything cheaply, one who thinks without properly disciplining oneself according to the principles of Krishna consciousness laid out by Srila Rupa Goswami, one can immediately attain high levels of spirituality. And he saw that the general population was being misled by such sahajyas. Many of these sahajya groups, they were endorsing illicit sex even, in the name of enacting the divine conjugal rasa of Radha and Krishna. Many, they saw more meaning in simply bhajans, kirtans, for the sake of crying, and these emotional tears of so-called ecstasy were seen as something very much the essence and the purpose and the means of self-realization, and neglecting the rules and regulations to control one's life, to bring one to the point where one can actually purify one's heart. So in this way, people showing all sorts of ecstasies, weeping all sorts of tears, people, but not teaching the real philosophy and life as given by Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Srila Rupa Goswami. And also, of course, people engaged in activities of debauchery and using Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu's name to justify it. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was thinking, in this totally materialistic condition of life, what can I do? He did his best. But in the mood of Sri Advaitacharya, he began to pray. He prayed for a ray of Vishnu to appear in this world to establish the true teachings of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Because you see, Advaitacharya, he understood, he knew that it was the time for Krishna to appear himself. So he called for Krishna directly. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, not wanting to interfere with Krishna's scheduled plans, as he gives in the Shastra, he did not ask for Krishna to appear. Krishna, I know you do not appear again in this age of Kali Yuga until the Kalki avatar, so I will not ask that of you. But he asked for what was as good as Krishna himself, his empowered representative, his empowered devotee, the ray of Vishnu to come to give light to this world of darkness. So he prayed and he prayed. And of course, Krishna cannot refuse the sweet and pure prayers of his surrendered devotee, especially when that prayer is in the mood of preaching in the compassionate spirit of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who at the time was living in Sri Purushottam Kshetra, Jagannath Puri Dham, he had a beautiful son. He was named Bimala Prasad Dutt. Bimala is the name of the internal potency of Lord Jagannath. Bimala Prasad means the mercy of the internal potency of Sri Jagannath Dev. And when he was born, all the 32 markings of a very great personality were upon him. And peculiar enough, his umbilical cord was wrapped like a sacred thread of a Brahman around his neck and his waist. And when various astrologers saw him and looked into his horoscope, they were struck with wonder that they had never seen any horoscope like this. One astrologer said that this personality will be such a great personality that, according to all my readings, he will change the course of human society. And when he was 6 months old, it was the time for the ceremony where a child takes his first grains. At that time, the Rath Yatra was taking place, and Rath Yatra would come right by the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He lived right on that road, just a few minutes' walk from Jagannath Dev's temple. And for 3 days, the cart remained there. It would not move. So during that time, right in front of the house, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wife, whose name was Bhagavati Devi, she brought the baby child and presented him at the lotus feet of Sri Jagannath Dev. And just at that time, a garland fell around his neck. And they were very happy. And then they gave him, from Jagannath's Mahaprasad, right in the presence of Jagannath, they gave him his first grains. Srila Prabhupada tells us how when he was only 2 or 3 years old, he took one mango that was meant to be offered to Krishna. And his father said, "These mangoes must be first offered to Krishna." He said, "What a wretched, sinful person I am." He said this when he was only 2 or 3 years old. "What a wretched, sinful person I am. The that I am trying to enjoy what belongs to Krishna. I will never take a mango again as long as I live. You follow that vow? Srila Prabhupada told us that when the devotees would give him mango, he would say, even when he was an old man, he would say, I am an offender, I cannot eat mangoes. He took so seriously. And in this way, he was teaching us by his example how seriously we should take our life in Krishna consciousness. It is the tendencies for devotees to take things very lightly, to be very whimsical in what we say about others and what we do and what we eat. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted to reveal to us how a devotee should be very, very cautious and very careful and very serious to do everything very properly in Krishna's service, to never offend Krishna or the Vaishnavas. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw in his son that Krishna had fulfilled his innermost prayer. And how brilliant of a student he was. Even from the age of 7 years old, he had already memorized Gita. He could already give perfect explanations and purport. And through his life, he and his father, they went through great, great painstaking efforts to establish the pure truth of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu's teachings. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he became very unpopular and had to endure great persecution because he was against the idea of caste by birth. And he was giving the mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, to everyone without discrimination. It is described that when they were living in Jagannath Puri, you see, it went, when he was just a child, they moved from Puri Dham to a place in Bengal called Ranghat, where his father was shifted. He was a magistrate in the British courts. And later on they went back to Jagannath Puri for some time. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he obtained a little piece of land where he constructed a bhajan kutir. And they lived together. At that time, there was one Babaji would regularly come to their classes to hear Bhakti Vinod speak and Bhakti Siddhanta speak, and was very much impressed. He was a very famous Babaji. And he had a belief that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra should not be chanted out loud. It should only be chanted in japa. It is such a Maha Mantra, such a sacred mantra. It should not be sung in kirtan. So therefore what he did is he was teaching to chant Maha Mantra in japa, muttering and silent. But for kirtan, he created another mantra. That mantra was Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam Hare Krishna Hare Ram. Now, when Bhakti Vinod and Bhakti Siddhanta heard this, first of all they understood that this mantra is rasbas. It is a mixing of contrary mellows. And also, the purpose of this mantra was in replacement of the Maha Mantra for kirtan. And they understood that according to the teachings of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu and according to the teachings of Rupa Goswami, this Maha Mantra should be chanted in kirtan. Indeed, as a matter of fact, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta and Bhaktivinoda Thakur preached that of japa and kirtan, kirtan is most important. They are both essential. But the Sankirtan, the congregational chanting, is especially in this age of Kali Yuga recommended. So they preach very strongly against this new mantra. And they preach very strongly for the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra. So because of this, they became very unpopular in Jagannath Puri. And many people criticized them and threatened them and everything. But you see, they were such... They wanted to protect the real truth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings because nobody else really was doing it. There were so many great Babaji's who were maintaining the highest standards, but they were basically keeping to themselves. And they were not coming out and fighting against and revealing the discrepancies in the name of the teachings of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So later, I'm giving just a very brief sketch of his glorious life. It is described that one time his father was to give a lecture on what is a Brahmin and what is a Vaishnava. But he was feeling ill. He was kind of old. So Bhakti Sinhan Saraswati, Bimala Prasad, he went to give this lecture. And how expertly, because it was filled with caste Brahmins, this assembly room. And what he did is first, he just began to glorify the caste of Brahmins and the qualities of Brahmins and the attributes of Brahmins and the importance of following and surrendering to the Brahmins. So all the Brahmins, their hearts were melting like anything. They were so much thinking, ah, he is a great scholar. We have never heard anyone glorifying our caste like him. So they really, their hearts, their minds, their ears, everything were surrendering to the beautiful discourse of Bhakti Siddhanta, which was so pleasing to them in every respect. And then he turned the whole thing around and explained that Brahman is not by birth. Yes, we have exalted the prominence and importance of Brahmins, but even if a person is born in a family of dog eaters, he's better than a Brahman if he's chanting the holy name. And you can initiate anyone in the Brahmin order, whatever their birth is, if they simply have the quality of a Vaishnava. So in this way they became very much defeated. And people were coming, standing in line to touch his lotus feet. He also wrote a commentary on the Surya Siddhanta. He was a great, great astrologer as well. And for this he was awarded the name Saraswati. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. On another occasion, when he was living his father was very much anxious to be shifted to Navadvip Dham to live there. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he moved to Navadvip Dham, and along with his father Bhakti Vinod Thakur, in a place called Godram Dweep, which is near Surabhi Kunja. And there Bhakti Vinod Thakur was giving discourses each day. And shortly after arriving in Godran Dweep, with the help of Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur discovered the actual birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there was a very, very great Paramahamsa who was living in Vrindavan for many, many, many years. And when he heard that Gauranga Mahaprabhu's birthplace had been discovered, and that Bhakti Vinod Thakur was giving wonderful lectures on the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this Paramahamsa was very much anxious to see the beautiful birth site of the Lord and to associate with Bhakti Vinod Thakur. His name was Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And he was a disciple of Bhagavat Das Babaji Maharaj, who was a disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And he came, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji came to Navadvip, and he was wearing, when he came to Navadvip, he was wearing a tiger skin hat. And he had a bag full of, he had a japa beads and a little bag of paraphernalia for puja. And this is how Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati first saw his Gurudev. And he was thinking how this man is very pure, this man is very great. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur urged him very strongly that he should accept initiation from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So he approached Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, but Babaji Maharaj was very humble. He was, in his earlier life, he was a grain merchant. And at a young age, he left his family, he left everything, went to Vrindavan, and became a very, very empowered Paramhamsa. So much that of everyone in all of Vrindavan, all the sadhus, the sages, the babas, the Vrijavasis, they respected Gaur Kishore the most. He was just so illustrious in his realization, in his purity, in his empowerment, and especially in his renunciation, in the mood of divine separation from the Lord. So, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he requested that you kindly, if it is your divine mercy, will you accept me as your disciple? And Gaur Kishore was very humble, very much like Lokanath Goswami in relationship to Narottam Das Thakur. He said, "You are such a qualified person. You are coming from such a high birth. And you are so highly educated, so brilliant, such an incredible preacher." I said, "I'm just a simple man. I'm not educated at all. How can I be your guru? And besides that, I have already vowed not to take any disciples in my life." So Bhakti Siddhanta was feeling very much heartbroken. And his father, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, very much was insistent also. Without a spiritual master, what is the use of your existence? So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, where was I?
His life was useless without accepting
So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur approached Gaur Kishore Das Babaji again. And Babaji Maharaj says, "But I have already vowed that I will not take any disciples." And Bhakti Siddhanta said, "But I have already in my heart taken shelter of your lotus feet. And if you do not deliver me from this ocean of birth and death, then what is my hope?" So he asked with such devotion and humility that Gaur Kishore Das Babaji said, "I will pray to Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and I will see in what way he directs me." So time went by, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, and with great humility and submissiveness, one day he asked, "Have you prayed to Mahaprabhu whether you can accept me?" And he said, "I forgot." So that was the end of that. So Bhakti Siddhanta reminded him, but with love and devotion. And so Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he was approached by Bhakti Siddhanta again. And Bhakti Siddhanta said, "So have you offered your prayer to Srimad Mahaprabhu? Has he given a reply?" He said, "Yes, I prayed, but he did not give me any answer." So I do not think it is possible. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, at that time, he started to weep and his heart was broken. And he told him that there is no purpose in my human form of life. Without a guru, one cannot attain Krishna. And without attaining Krishna, this human form of life has no value. There's no reason for me to go on living another moment. And he prepared himself to commit suicide. And Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji could see how really seriously and honestly he felt his life absolutely void and vacant of any meaning without the mercy of Sri Gurudev. So at that time, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, whose heart melted by the humble words and the great determination of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he agreed to initiate him. And he gave him the name Barshavanadi Devi Dayata Das, which is a name for Sri Radharani. They sing this every day. Sri Varshavanavi Devi Dayataya. That was the name that Gaurakishore Das Babaji gave him.
What does
Varshavanavi
Devi Dayata mean for it?
We could look in the song book. That's the word for word translation. Is that right? The song book someone has? So shortly after this, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur decided to perform tapasya. And near the Yoga Peeth, there was a beautiful tract of land which is very sacred in Navadvipa. It is the place of the house of Sri Chandrasekharacharya, who was the maternal uncle of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And there he constructed little hut, bhajan kutir, and vowed to chant 3 lakhs of the names of Krishna every day, Mahamantra. 3 lakhs every day, following in the footsteps of Haridas Thakur. And he vowed to chant 1 billion names. And he calculated that if I chant 3 lakhs every day, after 9 years, I'll have chanted 1 billion names. So he made a vow not to leave that hut until it was fulfilled. So he did like that. And he would just soak some rice and eat that every day with Ganges water. And even then, not until he completed all of his chanting. And when his roof caved in and it started raining, he was so busy chanting, instead of fixing his roof, he just took an umbrella and would just sit in his house with an umbrella and chant. Explained by he describes himself how Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu appeared to him. Gaurakishore Das Babaji was very proud of him. He said, such austerity, only he is just like Raghunath Das Goswami, who was coming again. Gaurakishore used to say. Gaurakishore Das Babaji used to call by his disciple my Prabhu. Of course, Mahaprabhu appeared to him after some years of doing this tapasya and told him that you must not just sit here in the holy dham and chant the holy names while everybody else in this world is suffering due to maya. You go to the cities, you go to the places of population, you spread the glories of the holy name. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was very much in this sweet mood. It is described before he after the time when Srila Bhakti Vinod and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji both left this world. It was a very pleasant situation for many years before that, because Gaur Kishore Das Babaji very often would live right at the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur constructed a bhajan kutir for him right in the front of his own house. So the three of them would spend so many hours, days, years together discussing Krishna consciousness. But after they left, his separation was very, very deep and very great. And he was feeling so much in the anguish of separation that several people who he had preached to, they very strongly appealed to him that you must take up the mission of your father. He was feeling so humble. Now that these two great acharyas are gone, what can I do? They are so great. What can I possibly do? I am helpless. Better I just stay here in Mayapur and just chant the holy names and try to purify my own life. This is his humility. But they told him, no, you must kindly help the world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mission is resting now in you. So he heard the voice of his father and his guru speaking through them, and he took on this great mission. So he took the vow of sannyas. He saw that there was no one more inspiring to him than his own Gurudev. So he gave himself the order of sannyas before a picture of his own spiritual master, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. And at that time he became known as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. It's interesting because Bhakti Vedanta and Bhakti Siddhanta mean the same thing. Huh? What does Vedanta mean?
End of knowledge.
And what does Siddhanta mean?
Conclusion
of knowledge. And what is the conclusion of all knowledge? Bhakti. What is the end of all knowledge? Bhakti. So how much he preached, so strongly. He established over 64 months throughout all of India, initiated tens and thousands of people into the chanting of the holy name. And most of all, he infused that preaching spirit in the hearts. So many of his disciples who dedicated their lives and souls only for this purpose. Of the disciples of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, many such empowered, pure, illustrious souls, so deeply learned, so deeply immersed in pure devotional service. And amongst all of them, we can understand how important Srila Prabhupada is, Bhaktivedanta Swami. Because of all of them, none of them took the deepest heartfelt desire of Bhakti Siddhanta, which was that the holy name of Krishna and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya be spread throughout the entire world. Srila Prabhupada, as well as all the disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, were either directly or indirectly given this instruction of the preachers. Srila Prabhupada, in Calcutta, when he first met his Guru Maharaj, gave him this instruction. And before his Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, as we were hearing in the tape this morning, was always feeling himself simply the insignificant menial servant. How Srila Prabhupada is teaching. Although Srila Prabhupada is the most empowered, the most illustrious acharya, practically in the history of this age of Kali. He was speaking this morning, revealing how a real acharya thinks. He said, when I was only a young man, my Gurudev gave me this order, take this message of Lord Chaitanya, spread it throughout the world in the English language. At that time, he accepted Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his heart as his eternal spiritual master and father. But he said he had just married, and he just had a newborn child. And he was also a manager in a chemical company, pharmaceutical company. So he was thinking that now, how can I do this? I have so many responsibilities that I have just assumed: family, occupation, children. So he said he did not take up the order externally at that time, although in his heart he was always meditating that this is my life and soul. Many years later, when he was when he retired from Grihastha life, took sannyas, then he accepted that now I must do this. But this morning he was saying, at the time I was thinking it is not possible when he first gave me the instruction. He said, that is because I was in Maya. I should have done it then. You see, some people, they think that to be a great devotee, to impress their disciples, they have to carry a profile of that I am flawless, I cannot make mistakes. Prabhupada was flawless. Prabhupada never made mistakes, in the sense that whatever he did was with love and devotion to Krishna. Externally, it may appear this way or that way to our vision. But whatever is offered with love and devotion, even though externally it may or may not be a mistake, it is perfect. But Srila Prabhupada, he was admitting right before his disciples that in my heart, I must say I was in Maya. Of course, no one believes him. But we believe that he actually feels that way. And his Guru Maharaj, he explained, said his Guru Maharaj was always very pleased with Srila Prabhupada. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to always comment that this Abhay Charan, which was his initiated name, he listens very carefully. He's very submissive in how he's anxious to hear. Said because he is anxious to hear so nicely, therefore, mark my words, he will be very anxious to speak very nicely. And he also said, because he hears so nicely, with such submission, anything he writes, you print. No need to edit. Bhakti Siddhanta had many magazines that he was regularly printing, The Harmonist, Sajjana Toshin. So, how much we are indebted to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Because it was he that planted the seed in Srila Prabhupada's heart to take this message of Lord Chaitanya and, according to time, place, and people, to spread it throughout the world. And disciplic succession means just like a tree. A seed grows into a tree, and then that tree produces other seeds. And then that seed produces other trees. So the preacher, because he has received the seed and he has watered that seed and it has grown into a tree, he has so many seeds to plant in others' hearts. So that very seed that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur planted in Srila Prabhupada's heart, Srila Prabhupada came to the West to plant that same seed in the hearts of so many others. And just like Srila Prabhupada was explaining this morning, and he explained to us so many times, that my Guru Maharaj has given me this mission of spreading the seed of love that he has planted in my heart. He said, my humble request to all of my disciples is you just put everything else aside and just assist me in fulfilling the great desire of my spiritual master. And now that seed is in our hearts by his causeless mercy. And what is his request? The same. That seed which was given by Bhakti Siddhanta to me, please put everything else aside. Give your life to assisting the Guru, the mission of Sri Gurudev, by spreading these glorious teachings of the Sankirtan movement in every town, every village. And there is no greater way to achieve the mercy of the Lord. This evening, hopefully some of you can come at Borivali. There is program, and there we will be speaking and discussing the teachings of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So many of the sayings that we use every day, which are just so concise, crystal clear, and contain the whole essence of Krishna consciousness, have come from him. One out of many that we'll be discussing, he said, there is no problem except lack of Krishna consciousness. So please, as many as possible this evening. It will be a very wonderful discussion. The famous sayings of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur.